1 hour down, 1 hour still to go. It's Rob Breckenridge, The World Tonight. Welcome to this hour of the program. Our telephone number in Calgary, 974-8255. Toll free across Alberta, 1-800-563-7770. You can also email us during the program or at any time. It's rob@theworldtonight.ca. Still to come on the program, we'll get some of the other news of the day. Paul Martin making the pages of The Economist magazine. We'll talk about that and some other news out of Ottawa. Plus, we'll have time for your phone calls. All of that straight ahead here in this final hour this evening. Off the top in this hour, we mentioned this kind of briefly, some of what Adil Charkawi had to say while he was on the stand in his own defense, what he had to say about September 11th. A lot of websites, and I've received many emails directing me to some of these websites, which purport to tell the real story about September 11th. There seems to be a common theme, basically, that the story we've been told is not true. The story that it was Al-Qaeda who carried this out is not true. That essentially, the main theme seems to be that it was the U.S. who did it, so that they could use it as an excuse to rape and plunder and pillage the rest of the world. Now, the details vary, whether it be a plane didn't hit the Pentagon, or it was a military plane that hit the Pentagon, or there were explosives on board the planes that hit the World Trade Center, or explosives within the World Trade Center. There's a lot of different theories out there. Now, Popular Mechanics magazine decided that maybe it was time to devote some attention to some of these theories and really look into whether there's anything to any of them. The result is a pretty fascinating, a pretty in-depth feature piece, which you can read online at popularmechanics.com or in the current edition of the magazine. Joining us to find out more about it, we welcome to the program Jim Meigs. He is editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics magazine. Jim, good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
All right, well, let's talk about this. I guess we'll call it an investigation that certainly culminated in a very long and in-depth piece in the latest issue of your magazine. Why don't we start with, I guess, the question of why? Why did you feel this was something that needed to be looked at?
Well, I've been noticing over the last couple of years that some of these, what the conspiracy theorists call alternative theories about September 11th, have been spreading and kind of gathering momentum. And I notice that they all start with a list of questions. Instead of looking at the mountain of evidence supporting the conventional mainstream view that we were attacked by terrorists, a lot of times you'll see a list of tiny details, and you'll say, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? The mainstream view can't explain these facts. So what we decided to do was to go and make a list of the claims that are made most frequently by conspiracy theorists and really take them at their word and say, well, these are interesting questions, and we should try to get to the bottom of these. Maybe there is something going on here. So we assembled a list of about 16, or precisely 16, of the factual assertions, things that can actually be tested, as opposed to some of the broad political themes that a lot of the conspiracy theorists bring up. We really want to focus on tangible physical evidence. I mean, Popular Mechanics is a magazine about engineering, aviation, military affairs, even geophysics. These are all fields of our kind of core expertise. So we looked at these claims, things like the claim that the fires caused by jet fuel in the towers couldn't have burned hot enough to melt the steel and cause the buildings to collapse. And then the conspiracy theorists jumped from that to assume that somehow the buildings were wired with explosives and professionally demolished. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we can check by going to engineers and looking at the records and looking at the investigations and really getting into the physics of what does happen when a fire burns in a building like that.
And I want to talk about some of these theories and I guess what you were able to find out about them. I guess kind of a follow-up to the first question, is there a I don't know if I want to call it a danger, but do you lend more credence to some of these theories by taking them seriously and devoting the time and resources to investigate them?
We really wrestle with that question because some of these theories are really so far out there, and what they're saying is so odious. I mean, that a lot of these people are really saying that the U.S. government deliberately murdered thousands of our citizens and others in this country for some kind of political gain. I mean, that's an extraordinary charge, and if there were any truth to it, it's one of the greatest scandals in history would need to be profoundly investigated. And I want to be very clear, we're not arguing against skepticism. Skepticism is important. No one should take everything they hear totally at face value. But it also needs to be wielded with some judgment so that when facts do become established or some pet theory of yours, you know, doesn't really hold up factually, then you're able to adapt and move on, not just reject the evidence. So we thought hard about whether we'd be giving these theories too much credence by debating them. And what we decided was that these things are gradually moving into the mainstream on their own. The number one best-selling book in France last year was called The Big Lie by a writer who argued that the American government, the military, the Pentagon was not struck by a hijacked passenger jet, but by some kind of guided missile under the control of the U.S. military. They hit the Pentagon on purpose themselves. You know, other people are making all kinds of other extraordinary claims. There was a rap song, it was a hit last year with the line, "Why did Bush knock down the towers?" So if you're a young person or someone who's maybe doesn't spend a lot of time really studying up on conventional news, but you hear the odd rap song or you poke around the internet once in a while, it's actually very easy to come across these things, and they're very seductive. They're very, the conspiracy worldview is very appealing to people who want to feel like they're smarter than everybody else.
Well, that speaks, I think, to the psychology of conspiracy theories in general, which is maybe more outside the scope of what this piece is all about. But there's a reason people want to believe these things. And you're right, maybe part of that comes from a certain power in the sense that I know something that the rest of the public doesn't know. I have this knowledge, and the rest of you don't.
And another thing that I think is very natural and important is people are frustrated that the U.S. government wasn't better prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that hard to go from saying, well, why didn't we know, and why didn't anybody connect the dots? Somebody should have known. It's not that hard for some people then to slip, well, somebody must have known and deliberately either encouraged it or didn't do anything or something like that. And, you know, obviously morally that's a massive leap, but it is natural and healthy, I think, to be frustrated with the failures of our government on that day. And I think that more investigation is needed, and I think more accountability is called for. But that's not the same thing as saying somebody deliberately set this up. It was an inside job. Now, it's a massive jump. But I think the conspiracy theorists are exploiting our natural frustration over the failures of that day to suggest that something far even worse took place.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, I guess, which is probably the most well-known of these conspiracy theories, the book you cited on the theory that it exists elsewhere, that a plane did not hit the Pentagon, that either was a missile or some explosion within the Pentagon. The theory on the surface seems absurd because what happened to the plane? And if the U.S. was in control of that plane and made it disappear, why not just crash it into the Pentagon anyway? So it seems odd on the surface. But how do you go about disproving that?
Well, I mean, first of all, we don't try to retell the whole story of what happened on September 11th.
Right.
What we try to do is take the facts that the conspiracy theorists start with, saying, and there's a series about the Pentagon. One is, the hole in the Pentagon was too small.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's really only a few pictures of holes in the Pentagon. One shows flames and a hole in the outer ring, the point where the plane first entered the building, prior to that section collapsing after relatively quickly because of fire and everything. Another shows a neat round hole on one of the inner rings. Well, on some of the websites you go to, they show you this neat round hole picture and say, how could a whole airplane fit into this hole? Well, that's just silly, because that hole actually is an exit hole that investigators think was made with a piece of the plane's landing gear relatively intact, held together as it bounced through the building and punched a nice round hole about 12 feet across. The hole on the outside of the building, in fact, though some theorists say, no, that one's too small too. It's no way that, I mean, what they literally say is, you know, how did a plane that's 125 feet wide, 155 feet long, fit into such a small hole? Well, I think these people have this kind of cartoon image of what would happen when a plane hits a building, that it would just punch sort of a cartoon-like outline of itself in the structure. The Pentagon is made of reinforced concrete. It's designed like a bunker, deliberately. And you know, one of the wings sheared off on the outside. The other one sheared off the ground as the plane barreled into the building. And what was left of the plane tore a huge swath through the building but, you know, not one that is as wide as the wingspan of a plane. A plane is a relatively delicate and, mm-hmm. you know, thin-skinned, lightweight structure contacting an absolutely massive reinforced concrete structure. You know, as in so many things with the conspiracy theorists, they have this kind of a childlike view of what must happen when a plane crashes in the building. It's just, from an engineering perspective, flat wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me jump in here, Jim. We'll take a break and come back and talk more about this. Jim Meigs, our guest editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics magazine. It's Rob Breckenridge, The World Tonight.
News from across the country and around the world. The World Tonight with Rob Breckenridge on AM 770 CHQ.
And we are back. A look at 9/11 conspiracy theories in conversation with Jim Meigs, editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics magazine. You know, and I mean, on a lot of these claims, I mean, we're talking about literally hundreds of experts that your magazine spoke with. So I guess this would involve going to these people and actually posing these questions to them, which I suppose it might almost seem kind of embarrassing at times.
It is almost kind of embarrassing, except, see, they're all aware of these conspiracy theories. They've seen their own work distorted. They've seen their names dragged through the mud. They've been accused. Well, we got one almost overnight when our story came out. We knew that the conspiracy theorists would sort of tear it apart. Listen, it's a free country. It's their right to analyze, study, argue. Mm-hmm. We absolutely have no problems with that. One of the writers who analyzed our piece suggested that all the experts we spoke to really ought to be getting called up on war crimes trials. Now, we're talking about engineers, mm-hmm. you know, firefighters, just eyewitnesses, you know. I mean, to suggest that every single one of those people, and us too, of course, are all part of some massive conspiracy is, I don't know, somebody's just seen a few too many episodes of The X-Files. But we did go to, in particular, one engineer who was one of the first people at the Pentagon that day and who assisted in the investigation, and he told us, you know, he held the wreckage in his hands. He saw, you know, he saw the body parts. He was there. And, you know, and I think one thing the conspiracy theories miss, these are people who sit at home and spend a lot of time on Google, a lot of them, you know, they're talking about real human beings here and some real pain. And they're incredibly cavalier about calling all these people liars, including many who just had given, you know, were involved in these incidents on that day, or gave so much of their time after the fact to serve on committees and help investigate and try to get to the facts. People who aren't associated with the government in any way, and to have all of them branded as war criminals, I think shows the intensity of some of these conspiracy theories and where they're coming from politically.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was one interesting expert that you spoke with, and it was regarding a claim about the collapse of the World Trade Center and the allegation that it was explosives within the building that did it. There was actually a guy, I believe it was from the New Mexico, Institute of Mining and Technology, who gave a quote, I believe, to a newspaper either on or just after 9/11 that
was maybe
to a certain extent taken out of context, but this individual later regretted having made this statement.
Right.
But it certainly served as fodder.
A professor at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, his name's Van Romero. And, I think it was on September 11th he was called, because he was an expert in explosives and that kind of thing, he was called up. The newspaper called him up for his comments. He said it looked to him like the building, it looked like a professional demolition. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, it did look like that to everybody. That's what, one of the reasons it makes these theories deductive. On the other hand, do any of us really know what a building looks like when it falls down? You know, do we have a cartoon image of the building going timber and toppling over from the root? You know, actually, engineers tell us that the relatively vertical, you know, sort of organized collapse that we saw those towers do is exactly what you would expect. They're not as tall and tippy as they look. It's actually a very wide, massive structure. So the fact that it fell in on itself somewhat neatly is not, from an engineering perspective, surprising. But what's interesting about Van Romero is that he felt he'd been most misquoted, because they interpreted his comment to mean that was a professional conclusion, yeah, as opposed to a visual impression. And he called them back up. They retracted the statement. But ever since, he's been hounded by conspiracy theorists who quote him again and again, often without mentioning the subsequent retraction, saying that this expert says that it was a professional demolition. He does not believe that, and he says it's been an albatross around his neck ever since. But it's also very typical about what you see a lot of times with these conspiracy theories on the internet. They seize little errors in the early reporting. A lot of the facts that you see cited by the conspiracy theorists came out September 11th, September 12th, September 13th, very, very early in the process when, you know, all of us in the media, we know that reporting's never perfect, especially in the midst of a huge chaotic story. So the conspiracy theorists seize on these little errors, and then they don't pay any attention when people go back or correct or clean up the mistakes of the earlier stories, or they assume that any further refinement or improvement in accuracy is really the government came down and somehow, you know, sent in the shock troops to get all of us reporters to tell the same story.
Well, I mean, as you mentioned, there are 16, and these are just the theories that you explored here. There are others out there. Some of these do have a common thread. Others seem to contradict one another at times. Did you find going through this that there were some that was, very easy to disprove, and did others require more investigation, more research? Did you find a difference in some of them?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was one of the claims you see again and again is the idea that Flight 175, the plane that hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center, it had no windows. We tracked that back to the source, a guy who was walking down the street in Brooklyn, saw a plane fly over. Later, he found out that a plane had flown to the South Tower. He assumed it was the same plane. He called Fox News and gave a description, said it had no windows. Well, we looked at a map. The guy was more than 2 miles away, directly under the flight path approach to LaGuardia. But his assertion shows up again and again on these websites. And then if you look when the Federal Emergency Management Agency went to investigate, did an investigation, they found pieces of Flight 175, including a piece of cabin with windows. We have a picture of it. Now, you know, which piece of evidence do you think is more convincing? A guy who thinks he saw a plane fly over in the middle of Brooklyn that maybe didn't have windows, or a photograph? Now, if you're a conspiracy theorist, because it's a federal agency, you don't trust the photograph. You think it's part of it. You think it's part of a cover-up. We don't really think we can convince those people. We do think that our story should help reestablish some basic common sense, mm-hmm. and the idea that the facts really are discernible. And I want to stress the facts that we looked at in the story were the most plausible facts that the conspiracy people put forward. You know, these were we looked at their best evidence. And really took it seriously, and in every case, it was just flat wrong.
Well, it's fascinating reading, to say the least. I don't think it's going to convince, a lot of the true believers, and it seems as though their reaction has been to just lump you in your magazine in with the rest of the conspiracy. But as I say, it's worth reading. People can do so online at www.popularmechanics.com, or it's, I believe, the current edition of the magazine out now. Is that correct?
We're just hitting stamps now, yeah. It's the March issue of Popular Mechanics.
All right. Well, Jim, we really appreciate your time here this evening. Thanks for chatting with us.
It's my pleasure.
And there you go. Jim Meigs, editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics magazine. Pretty interesting piece. If you want to read it for yourself, as we just mentioned, their website, popularmechanics.com. Or you can pick up the magazine for yourself. It's, it's almost a lose-lose in a way because, most people never believed these conspiracy theories in the first place, and the people that do aren't about to change their mind. Despite that, though, it is kind of interesting to take a look at some of this stuff and, just look at how maybe... sometimes there are things that people can misinterpret. So it's interesting to see how some of those things get started. Now, granted, there are people out there who just want things to be a certain way. You're going to believe it anyway. But it is interesting to see how one thing that was said or one thing that appeared to be a certain way, maybe in one account or one picture, becomes something much bigger. But anyway, that's the current edition of Popular Mechanics magazine. When we come back in our next half hour, we're going to have some time. We're going to open up our phone lines. We'll also get to some of the other news of the day. Interesting piece in The Economist magazine regarding our prime minister. It's a British magazine talking about Paul Martin and the D word. I'm going to tell you what the D word is because we're hearing it a lot these days. We'll get some other stuff as well. So stick around. It's The World Tonight. We're back after this. All right, we'll get some other news here. I want to get to the phones. We'll start here this evening with Sean. Sean, good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
How's it going?
It's going all right, thanks.
Okay, you were talking about how jet fuel wasn't hot enough to burn steel structure. So I'm wondering...
I was talking about that?
Well, the guy from Popular Mechanics,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you had mentioned something about it. I'm just wondering how much truth is behind that. Because I know it is only a conspiracy, but I like reading a little more about it because I don't know how much truth is behind the whole terrorist attack.
Okay, well, I mean, if you want to read what's in Popular Mechanics, you can do so. They got the whole, it's a pretty lengthy article. It's posted on their website, which is popularmechanics.com. They deal with, there were 16 different theories that they investigated, upwards of 300 people they spoke with. So if you have a specific question about a specific angle, to direct you to.
Okay, how much truth, is jet fuel hot enough to burn steel structure to have the building collapse like that, or was it just that it took out so much of the actual structure that would make the building come down? Do you know anything towards that?
Well, I'll pull it up here. I think it's a little more complicated than that, but, like I said, if you read it for yourself, you can go and do so.
Okay.
And I'll see if I can dig that up here.
All right, thanks.
All right, John, appreciate that. Anyhow, let's go next here. We'll go to Teresa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, welcome.
Dreams World Building.
It's your world.
It's your world.
In tune with what's happening on The World Tonight with Rob Breckenridge on AM 770 CHQR.
Well, I don't want to dwell on this whole 9/11 business, as it's kind of the conundrum about doing in the first place and asking Jim the question about giving too much credence to all of this. Here's one of the claims, that no kerosene fire can burn hot enough to melt steel, therefore, fill in the blank here. Well, here's the facts. Jet fuel burns at about 800 to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit, not hot enough to melt steel. However, experts agree that for the towers to collapse, their steel frames didn't need to melt. They just had to lose some of their structural strength, and that required exposure to much less heat. Retired New York Deputy Fire Chief Vincent Dunn, author of The Collapse of Burning Buildings, says, I've never seen melted steel in a building fire, but I've seen a lot of twisted, warped, bent, and sagging steel. What happens is the steel tries to expand at both ends. When it no longer can expand, it sags and the surrounding concrete cracks. Senior engineer Farid Al-Fawakhiri at the American Institute of Steel Construction says steel loses about 50% of its strength at 1100 Fahrenheit. And at 1800 Fahrenheit, it's probably at less than 10%. He also believes that a great deal of the spray-on fireproofing insulation was likely knocked off the steel beams that were in the path of the crashing jets, leaving the metal more vulnerable to the heat. But fuel wasn't the only thing burning. Notes Foreman Williams, professor of engineering at the University of California, San Diego, one of seven structural engineers and fire experts the Popular Mechanics consulted, says that while the jet fuel was a catalyst for the fires, the resulting inferno was intensified by the combustible material inside the building, including rugs, curtains, furniture, and paper. Reports the pockets of fire hit 1,832 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's all there. I mean, some people just don't want to hear. They're not going to want to believe it anyway. But some of these things I want to cling to as facts. They're ready to accept the actual facts. It's all there to be had. All right, let's get back to the phones. So we'll say good evening to Don. Don, how you doing?
Hello, Rob.
Hey, Don.
Well, our buddy Adil there, he's actually pretty comic. I've gotten to the point of being comical to listen to. He says, oh, we haven't been attacked. We haven't been attacked, but...
we should stop doing what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess he forgets on 9/11 that we lost 25 of our own countrymen in that atrocity.
Yep.
Does he forget that Ahmed Rassam took the ferry from Victoria over to Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
Does he forget that Bin Laden even mentioned us in one of his fatwas, because we dug up the graves of his terrorists in Afghanistan looking for him?
Or do we forget? I mean, the Air India bombing. I mean, did that have anything to do with our alliance to the United States? We go on and on. It's obviously a rather silly notion.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that there are terrorists here and have been terrorists here, and it would be negligent to the extreme to do nothing about it. So, I mean, credit to the liberals that at least they've done something. Whether they've done enough is debatable, but, they've done something.
Well, I don't think we're, I still don't think we're doing enough.
No.
Especially when today you turn on the tube and it figures it was in Quebec, but here's Charkawi. They let him out of, or whatever his name is, they let him out of jail there, and they put a bracelet on him. Like, I mean, what's the matter with people like that? I'd like, if they're going to let him out of jail, they might as well let the rest of us know what evidence they got against him. Unless they're planning to try him, but from what I heard, they're possibly planning on deporting him. I guess time will tell. Maybe they'll probably let him stay, and who knows, you know.
Well, there's a few of these guys they've been trying to deport, and, you know, there's two arguments. First of all, this guy's done nothing. He's innocent. Once that starts to fall apart, then the backup is, well, if we send him back to country A or country B, you know, he might get tortured. So, yeah, we can't send him back. And so what are we going to do with him?
Well,
right?
I'd like to know. I'd really like to know what they got on the guy. And if he's dangerous, you know, he should be in jail. He shouldn't be allowed out.
Well, it comes back to Ahmed Rassam. And there was a cell in Montreal. And Ahmed Rassam was picked up, and there have been others that have been picked up. Some have been convicted. Kamel, I forget his first name, was one of them. And Adil Charkawi is tied to all of these people. It's all part of this cell that CSIS was tracking in Quebec. Ahmed Rassam himself has identified Adil Charkawi, as we understand it, and says that they were in a terrorist training camp in Afghanistan together. Abu Zubaydah, who was one of bin Laden's top lieutenants and ran the training camps in Afghanistan, was one of the recruiters. He, too, has said that, yes, indeed, he saw Adil Charkawi at this training camp. Now, Mary Foster, we talked to her in the first half hour. I said, well, you know, Zubaydah may have been tortured, so anything he said is suspect. I don't see how saying that, you know, they show him a picture. Have you seen this guy? And he says yes or he says no. I don't see how it helps him, even if he is being tortured. So that's kind of what we know. But there's, you know, certainly a lot more here that we haven't seen. And you know, maybe we should see it. But I suppose there's a reason that this stuff is, you know, kept hush-hush, because it might point to other people who are still out there or other people who have passed information on. I don't know.
Well, exactly, yeah. Okay. You can't give away your sources of intelligence, that's for sure. But I don't know. I don't know when the next one's coming, but it's coming someday. And I guess the only thing we can do is prepare and wait, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Don, appreciate it. Let's move on here next. Jim's up. Jim, welcome to the program, sir.
Yeah, hi again. I just wanted to find out if you've ever seen the website that was put on by a guy late night, the host there on this show, on this station called George Norrie. It was also called In Plain Sight. It shows
about the plane that apparently didn't hit.
The plane that hit the Pentagon was not a plane, it was a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And but the other planes that hit the tower showed almost evidence that they had doctored tanks on the side. And I don't know, I can't swear to whether these pictures are doctored or not, because, you know, naturally I didn't have anything to do with it.
Well,
I just wondered.
Yeah. Well, I keep referring people back to this Popular Mechanics piece, but they get into all of that, and they explore those pictures of the plane, and there's only really one picture of the plane from underneath, and somebody somewhere thought that something didn't look right, and all of a sudden that became the conspiracy. But there's all sorts of experts who tell you exactly what's on that plane and what it is, and there's nothing untoward about it. And this notion about a plane not hitting the Pentagon, it's, to me, the silliest thing I ever heard. You know, I mean, when people remember September 11th, they remember what happened in New York, and unfortunately for the victims in Washington, it's, you know, it's kind of an afterthought. The thought that the U.S. engineered 9/11, just in case people weren't mad enough about what they saw in New York, we better, you know, stage this phony little thing in Washington, and, you know, if they're not upset about New York, boy, that'll really get them mad, and that way we can whip the public into a frenzy and go on this, you know, global crusade and destroy everything in our path. It's so absurd in so many ways, but a lot of people believe it.
There's going to be stories going on about that for the next 20 years.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for your time.
Appreciate the phone call. We're going to leave it there. We're just coming up to the top of the hour here. As mentioned, Garth Pritchard, filmmaker, is going to be with us tomorrow, and he's spent 2 months in Sri Lanka following Canada's military team there and the work they're doing. So we'll talk to Garth tomorrow, David Horowitz, and much more coming up next week. But that's going to do it for us this evening. Rob Breckenridge, The World Tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow.